Good morning. So we're having a theme today, and it is called Mind, No Mind. So first, I'd like you to just take a breath and rest in the real that there is no person here to speak. And that there is no person here to listen. There is nothing here apart from yourself, conscious awareness. We are leaving everything for these few moments that we are together. We're leaving the thoughts. We're leaving memories and judgments. We're leaving future projections and letting all go for these moments. We're leaving the illusion of time and we leave the illusion of tomorrow. Leave the idea of now. Just let it all go. The ideas, the opinions, and all of the concepts and conditioned beliefs, just let them lie. Rest back in the stillness of yourself. Rest in the real. So today we are taking up a concept of mind or no mind. Actually, anything we can try to speak of, talk about, interpret, have opinions on, they're all concepts, and this is that. So, do we truly know what mind is? Have you thought about it, pondered it, or contemplated on it? And do we know where mind is? We might say that it is just the cacophony of thoughts I hear in my head. They call that my mind. Or it is something that I use for thinking, and I call that my mind. And is there just one mind? Or are there separate or individual minds? Or is there a mind at all? And it is just thoughts coming and going in awareness. Or just a train of thoughts that we call thinking. Is there even a mind at all? For myself, I cannot say what the mind is or where the mind is, but I have a feeling of something that is present. And if there is a mind, it has to be with the presence of consciousness. So, going back to our core understanding, there is only one presence. But what if there were different levels of what we call mind? Another aspect of consciousness. So I truly have no definition for this something that we are calling mind. It does seem right now as if there is something speaking from inside this head. And even as the body sits before a computer typing away, each word only seems to be typed as it comes into recognition. And even the eyes are not watching the screen. The eyes are looking out a window, watching the birds. And yet, there are words that come that are typed. But not a recognition or a knowing of exactly what that next word is until it is needed in the sequence of what is being typed. Now, this is just an observation, witnessed as the spontaneity of typing took place. So what I would like to do first is just clear up any idea that your meditations are to have no thoughts. That is not what meditation is about. So your practice and your devotion is not for you to attain a mind with no thinking and no thoughts. You are not to attain anything as you already are what you are. The devotion and the practice is for us to mature in the skills of watching thoughts, of seeing clearly. And we are not to be seeking results when we meditate. Okay. I know some come and say, Mary, I can't make my mind stop thinking, or I can't stop the thoughts. Again, that's not what your meditation is for. There's no need to stop the thoughts, and we're getting into that now. Okay. Now, the skill of watching thoughts and feelings and seeing clearly is so that when we find an attachment to anything, to any thoughts, to any feelings, to any beliefs, okay, that we are so settled into our being that we are not moved and we are not disturbed. And if we do have a movement or a bit of disturbing, it is not as much as it would have been without our practice. Okay, so now to this idea of levels of mind, or what we call mind. Let's say This first area might be just basic sensory perception. The eyes see, the ears hear. There's a sense of touch, taste, and smell. Very simple, very clear. Just basic. And then we come to a second area. And this area now could be where the five senses are active and they are now perceived and they are now interpreted. So at this level, there's an interpretation of the pictures into something that we recognize. Okay. Now comes the eyes see a tree. There's the interpretation of what is being presented visually or audially or through the senses. There's the interpretation. The ears hear a whistle. The nose smells a perfume. The hands feel a texture. And the tongue tastes sweetness. And that sweetness is then interpreted to chocolate or strawberry or banana. It goes farther. So this is the area of interpretation. And then you have your third area. And this could be the area of the ego. This is where the mind is in service to its own fabricated identity of me, of I. I am Mary. I am short. I am smart. I am whatever the significance of the body or the accomplishments that the body mind has fulfilled. This is where the mind is in service to that sense of I identification as separate. This is the area of holding that personal sense of I. The personal sense of I is where we speak or think or hear, I am a female. I am a mother. I am a grandmother. This is where that personal sense comes in. And it is always, always separation. Ego is always in a state of identifying separation. And this is the area where we hold that belief in a personal sense. And in this egoic era, this is where there is the desire for comfort, for safety, for security, and it is also the area where there is the desire to get rid of that which is not comfortable. And all of that analyzing, comfort, discomfort, it's all in accord with what mind or thoughts are saying are acceptable or not acceptable. This is the area where you will find discrimination. This is the area where you will find a deep-rooted, hateful sense of separation. So let's go on to another level. And this will be level four. And this is a place of deep mind. And it is perhaps also called subconscious mind, unconscious mind. This is where the roots of conditioning are. It is also where we are at our more natural state of being, which is beyond the thoughts. The level that is beyond thoughts. So, with these conceptual levels of something we call mind, we want to be able to see that whatever it is to our awakening interest that we have all levels in harmony, one to the other. Then, when an appearance rises to our awareness, we do not give it to the action or the activity that we call mind. We do not go to mind or thought or interpretation. We are aware, of course, of the thoughts tempting us to interpret it or trying to interpret it. We're going to be aware of those. And even the thoughts, they seem to be competing and to dominate that they are the ones to make the determination of what is. And we have to see that clearly. So it's going to be the thoughts that want to project what is happening, and they also want to project what is going to happen. And there you have your concepts about a tomorrow that doesn't exist. But it is through our clear seeing, through our practice, through our maturing in the skills of watching that we transcend each level. So take a breath. Rest back. Let's go through an example. Okay, rest back. Let's say that a sound is heard. Okay. And let's say it that it's the sound of a barking dog. Okay. So first level is a sound is heard. Nothing more. But if we do not leave that appearance at that first level, just resting in awareness of sound, we will go to the second concept. It is a dog barking? Now we've gone to translation. And having accepted that, we now come into the third concept. And usually here, with the conditioned ego, judgments will start. In accord with the appearance. Oh, how annoying this is, barking dog. Why don't they take it inside? I just came out here to sit in peace and quiet, and now this is going on. How am I to find peace with all this noise? So now you have mind thought in control of your moment. It is now in charge. It will now decide how you're going to feel, how you're going to react, what is going to happen. And it is here then that we experience what we call suffering. That's three. But say now we recognize this, that we're being pulled into the story. Into the judgments. Okay. And in that moment, and we can call that a red flag moment, in that moment of recognition, we now have the opportunity to turn into the stillness and surrender to what is. We transcend what we are calling mind. So what is, and what is? A sound was heard. That is all. That is all. Not the dog, not the barking. Not the picking up the thoughts of judgments and running with them. No, just a sound. And at that point, we are then in the peace of being, which is our natural state. And we can call that enlightenment. We can call it bliss. You can call it nirvana, whatever you like. The name is not important. What is important is the recognition that peace was always there. So it's in this recognition of these activities that take place in what we're calling mind that we begin to dissolve this something that is called mind. And say at this point, at this recognition, we are going from mind to no mind. And these transitions take place as I do not give anything over to mind for interpretation. I do not allow thoughts to move in and interpret what is being presented to awareness. Awareness does not interpret. Awareness is awareness. And the transcending continues as I see attachments to listening, or I see attachments to the projections and the stories, as I see these, and I can take that opportunity to take a breath and turn back within. The clear seeing that it is but a sound. And in reality, there is no dog present to be barking. So we have the awareness of the sounds. And second level defines that as dog barking or a siren blaring, and that is fine. That is as it is. And we recognize when mind has taken over and the thoughts and the opinions rise up and just flow. But at this point, with practicing the skills to remain at rest, that there is no need to control. There is no need to struggle against a mind. There's no need to try to suppress something called mind thoughts. We can see that clearly and without judgment, peace and stillness are shining. They are ever shining. We close them over by accepting thoughts and stories as realities. So when we give the appearance over to that third level, that ego sensor level in our mind analogy, then comes the belief in personal stuff, and know that this ego serves its own interests, so to speak. We all still together here? Good. So take another breath. If you need to. So this so-called mind thing, is rather also like the dream levels. And I don't know if you're all familiar with the dream levels, but the first one, of course, is the waking dream. The body mind apparatus is walking around. It thinks it's doing, it's saying, it's active. It's going through daily projects, thinking that I am doing. So this is the waking dream. This is what most of the people on the planet are engaged in now. They are dreaming of being a separate person in a world. So the waking dream is what you would be in if you right now were having a Mary here speaking and others here listening. That would be a dream fantasy. And again, for most, that's just pretty much the only awareness that they have of things, this sense of separation. There's Mary here doing the speaking, and there's others here doing the listening. No. So number two then is your actual nighttime dream state. Where mind is less active at this level, because the body is not included quite in this level. It's not moving, it's not active, but thoughts are still active. Things are still going on, and we still have the few images, perhaps of a world. Maybe we're on another planet. Maybe we've gone over to Paris for the evening. The feelings are still there, and emotions can still be there. There's still interactions, but the body is not active. It's not active in this particular dream state, and it remains at rest while these actions take place to awareness. There's an awareness of dreaming. And we won't get into lucid dreaming and all of that now. And then the third dream state, of course, is your deep sleep. That is your sleep where there is no dreaming at all. You might call it almost unconscious state, but there is a consciousness that is aware. Okay. But there's not a mind, thought, activity, movement where we are conscious. So for most of us, we feel that at that third level, that deep level, that we are just absolutely out of it. But no, there is an awareness at that level that is going on. It's just that mind is not aware of that. So it cannot report to you about anything at that level, at that deep level. So at that level, mind is not engaged. And this is more like, again, your natural state. It's your natural state of awareness without involvement. Aware, but not engaging. Aware, but not involving. So when all of these areas work in harmony, that is mind consciousness, because there is no mind without consciousness, and they are working together, we are conscious in our natural state. Okay? We live unconditioned without a dualistic mind, without the beliefs in separation. That is our natural state. Everybody's okay. So take a breath. Follow a breath in. Watch the release go out. Again, following a breath in, aware of a breath coming in, and then just watching it flow out. I want you to let any thoughts arise or come to your awareness as they naturally do. Let them come in now. Just whatever. It doesn't matter. Where does it feel like they are coming from? As you follow another breath. Just being aware of what the thoughts are. Take another breath, follow it in. Again, allowing any thoughts to be present. But you're not engaging them. You're just aware of them. So we're not jumping into mind and following the thoughts. We're just watching mind from within your natural stillness. You're watching mind. So there is a withinness feeling to the awareness of thoughts. It feels like it's in my head. But there is nothing outside yourself, and yourself is not the body. So the sense of thoughts may be in the head, but the thoughts themselves are rising within you as consciousness. They're rising within consciousness. There is no mind in you. You, as person, you do not have a mind. We can look at mind again as an accumulation of thoughts, and we call that bubble of thoughts. Our mind is active, or my mind is not active, or my mind is so powerful, I can't get it to be still, or my mind is this, or I'm happy in my mind, or my mind is that. And we give it a credence and a presence, just as we give a credence and a presence to the idea of being a separate person. Because who is it that would be saying, my mind is active, my mind is powerful? Who propagates a sense of ownership? Mind itself, thoughts themselves. There is no entity of mind, just as there is no entity of a personal separate self. All taking place within consciousness. It's all taking place within your being. Thoughts are not taking place within me, Mary. Thoughts rise within being, presence. So if mind is, then you, consciousness, God, is the source of its manifestation. And you can ponder what that would mean, that God is the source of the manifestation of mind, or something called mind. So it is in this practice of watching, in this practice of being aware of where you are being led or drawn to, or being aware of where you have turned your attention to, it's in that practice that we bring what we are calling mind back to its source, which is the very presence of God, and we let it rest there in the heart of love. That's the only place it can rest because of the source of its being. And in this practice, it is we who then eliminate the mind, or we eliminate the mind concept, or we eliminate the mind belief, but we eliminate mind at some level. And we bring all of that into harmony, and we stop criticizing ourselves for having a mind that doesn't cooperate. And we let go of any fear that something called mind, about something called mind. And return it back to the source from which it has come. All thoughts rise in consciousness, not in me and not in a you. You are consciousness, you are awareness itself. You are aware. Thoughts rise to your attention. Okay. So if there is a mind, it just is. It just is. It's not your enemy, and it doesn't have any power over you. Okay. So see this clearly and bring it to rest within the heart of your being. Okay. So remember. Thoughts are not the problem, as there are no problems, but it is attachment to the thoughts that brings the suffering and the problem. Okay. Okay. Okay, mind, no mind, which is it? Okay, so here we go. Yeah. Questions or comments? Mary, yes, love.
There was one profound, well, there was many things you said that were really enlightening for me this morning, but I especially was attracted when you said how the ego identifies with the thoughts, and it I'm going to use this word, it veils the present moment. This personal, that is like so really cleared something for me.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. Just
And the other thing was clear seeing. I've heard you say that 100 million times, but I really want to sit with that this week. That's going to be my word.
Okay.
I like to like digest words, and that's going to be my pondering this week.
As your practice
What
for the week, your devotion for the week.
what does it mean to see clearly? Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, yes, since the ego has no true identity, the ego is a belief system. It's thoughts. Ego is thoughts. So we don't want to forget that you do not have an ego and you do not have a mind. You are beyond both of those concepts. So I would then say that the practice and the devotion is to see clearly that you are beyond those belief systems and concepts. That would be the clear seeing. I am. I am that I am. That is it. Direct pointing. You are the very presence of God itself. And just make sure your definition of God has no descriptions in it. So how'd we do for you, Mary? No mind.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
You were speaking of me, Mary?
Yeah, I'm asking you a question.
But I
How
didn't
did
know
it go
you
for having no mind? Did it settle
were.
in?
Reading? Yeah, it did. Reading so much of Joel
Uh-huh.
and just reading a chapter called No And,
Okay.
one of his. I sit here and I say, well, then why have this mind? But then it just came to me, mind is just a human thought. that we created somewhere along the line and forgot about I am that I am. There's nothing, like what keeps coming back is there's nothing to do but just be.
Exactly.
We wrap ourselves up in all these thoughts. I mean, I do it all the time, and just stopping and going, wow, wait a minute.
That's this. That's
the way.
When,
I know.
It's when that, wow, what am I doing? That's this waving at you. And there's that opportunity that you take a breath and all you have to do is just return to the stillness of the heart. That's it. It doesn't take words. It doesn't take actions. It doesn't take anything but to turn the tension back to the real, to what is real and what is real, my being, myself.
And one thing you said too, ego serves its own interest.
Yes. The egoic belief system, the thoughts involved in that system are all self-serving. Even if the ego, most times the ego, even in an egoic, that belief system, those thoughts, they will pat themselves on the back if they gave a donation. Or if they did a good turn for the neighbor, they will give their pat. They will not. It's always self-serving. So that the reason for the helping the neighbor was to get the pat on the back. Always self-serving interest.
Right. Wow.
So it's
it
true.
Is a lot.
So again, it's, we go back to the devotion, we go back to the practice and seeing clearly when that opportunity arises to just again take the breath and step back into the heart, just let it drop. Just let it drop. And there's no criticism that, oh, damn it, I followed those thoughts again. I got involved in the story. No, none of that. None of that. It's because then you would see that clearly and have to take another breath and drop that and let it go. So there's no judgments. There's nothing going on. It's just a gentle breath and turning attention back to the self. That's it. That's it.
Beautiful. Thank you for that.
Welcome. Okay, Ingrid, how about you?
As you might have noticed, I was thrown out for a while.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I don't,
okay.
Yeah.
But maybe I shouldn't ask you.
Yes, but for me, the most difficult is not to identify with emotions or feeling. Yeah.
They're the same as thoughts. Yes. Those are thoughts.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, so, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. To look at them, take that breath, and step back into what is real. The thoughts and the feelings and emotions, they're not real. And you say, oh, Mary, they sure in the hell are. And I'm saying, no, they're not. They are thoughts. They are like a thought in action of a feeling or a sensation. So to stop identifying with them is the same thing. You take that breath and you come back and you identify with yourself. You identify with the stillness. You identify with the peacefulness of the heart. You identify with, no, this is what I am. This silence, this stillness. You change where you put your truth of identity and you identify with self. And what is self? Formless, immortal, invisible, infinite presence, energy, vibration, all that is immaculate, pure consciousness, absolute, supreme. You identify with that and not a feeling that's going. It's not so much identifying with the feeling, you're identifying with the story about the feeling. Because it's very difficult to identify with a feeling without a story. Because the feeling just is. It has no story. It just is. But you have, there's a created story around that feeling, and you're identifying with the story. So you to work to stop to see that and stop it and stop the identifying with the story of that feeling.
Yeah, I will certainly try again because yeah, I was
It's a
during these
practice.
days.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it feels so much in the body, you know, it's like I cannot get it out. So
That's a, well, the more you try to get it out or resist it or push it aside, the more you're going to feel it.
yeah.
Okay. You can look at it as a friendly teacher. It, and it comes to you to say, oh, I'm here, but don't grab onto me and don't hold on to me. Just let me go. And it's your place to just let it go. It doesn't want to stay. The story doesn't want to stay. You hold on to it. You make it stay. But it's coming for you to have an opportunity, okay, to see that opportunity clearly. Oh, it's the story. And I'm not a story. God is not a story. God is not a feeling. And God is the being of my being. This is how you redirect that attention to your true identity. You take your attention away from that story and you put it on what is real. And it's you that is real. Not the body, not the mind, not the thoughts, not the stories, not the feelings, nor the sensations. Only presence is real. Only God is real. Consciousness is real. And that's where you bring your attention there. Okay, it's like, okay, say you were, I don't know, being an artist, I see things visually, but say you have a piece of paper and you just start doodling over here. Oh, this story, oh, this feeling, oh, it's about, why is this feeling back? Why can't I get rid of this? And you just draw a line and say, no, this is what I am. Peace. Something visual, if that helps. If that helps, I'm kind of visual myself, but if that helps, then doodle. You know, that story starts, just doodle, just doodle. So, no, I'm not this mess. I'm this. Bring your mind to what is real, okay?
Yes, thank you.
It is direct. The path is direct. Immediately you acknowledge, you accept, I am this. I am presence. I am peace itself. Not I'm going to be, or maybe when I get the mind to be quiet, then I'll be this. Or if I read another book, then I'll be this. Or listen to another audio, then I'll be this. No, you are this now. Identify with it now, not tomorrow. And in the throes of chaos, especially, see that red flag, see that opportunity. Oh, an opportunity to see clearly and be still. Take it. You are what you are right now. You're not going to be more of it tomorrow or next week or next year. You'll not be more of it than you are right now. You are the wholeness of what is right now. And do not let mind tell you otherwise. Do not succumb to the temptation of thoughts that are tempting you. Okay. Be as you are, the very presence of peace. Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, love. Any questions, comments? I know that might have been a lot, and you're gonna want to go over it and put on good, good, good. That's good. But I think you'll find it uplifting. I think you're gonna find it where it's gonna like push you into maybe a deeper contemplation, and that's good. Just go deeper into your own being. Rest, rest there, okay? Okay, Peggy, Gary, Diana, anybody? I'm calling
All
on
I can say is it's percolating.
Okay, I'm calling on you guys today. I want to hear from you. Peggy, I want to hear from you.
Mary, I had an experience yesterday where this exact thing happened. I wanted to get a slice of pizza, so I went into the pizzeria, and there was a Hollywood shoot in there that was ordering tons and tons of food. And I started to complain because I wanted one piece of pizza, and they're getting all of this food, thousands of dollars worth. And I'm saying all this stuff to myself. Why didn't they order this before? They don't speak English, okay, which was driving me crazy as a New Yorker. Why can't they?
Level three at play.
They're reading the digits of the credit card in another language. All this stuff went on, and I just, I wanted my pizza hot. I'm very particular, and then finally I stopped. I stood in the corner, observing, and the man, the pizzeria guy, takes the pizza out and he gives it to me for free. He says, "Here, take this. I'm so sorry about all the drama in here." And it wasn't until I stepped away from the drama and just stood there observing. It stopped thinking. It was in a complete state of peace. And I walked out of there with a free piece of pizza, and I thought to myself, "You didn't. You carried on for 15 minutes with every thought you can imagine. They're on the West Side. They're on Broadway. What are they doing on the East Side buying pizza? All these things. And yet, when I just stopped, there was nothing. No thinking. No nothing.
Just
Just
peace.
being. The man
Just
goes."
peace. Yeah.
"Take this, ma'am. I'm terribly sorry. Just take it. I hope it's okay. I hope it's hot." I was just like,
What a beautiful story. Beautiful. Thank
so
you. Thank you for
you're
sharing that. Thank you.
welcome.
So when that took place then, and you probably didn't realize it, but you lifted all of that negative energy out and away from the body. Okay. The muscles could relax. The joints could relax. The breathing could be easier. Okay. And you might not have recognized that, but when we are in our state of being, the body is naturally at rest and at peace. It's not being traumatized by the heaviness of our thoughts and that negativity. So good on you. Good for you.
Thank you.
Okay, I see some skipped out, so I can't catch them. But how about you, Miss Alice?
Like Peggy, it's been coming to me more and more to just observe and just watch and not get caught up in what's going on. So I love that story so
yes,
much, Peggy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for sharing that one. All right. Okay, well, then this one will have to go up to the website. It's a little long today, so but I will do it as quickly as I can. Okay, so let's call this one finished. Okay, and let us pray. Most beloved self, I rest in the clear seeing of the heart, and I am peaceful. My mind rests in the source of love, and I am peaceful. This body rests from ideas of attachment to what is not, and I am peaceful. I am grateful. I am. Om. Amen. Namaste.